Before we get started, I want to shout out our sponsors here on the BCP. As always, the BCP is brought to you by our favorite store, Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located online and at the Englishtown Flea Market in Englishtown, New Jersey, on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Blue Building. Get your wrestling stuff, retro video games, G.I. Joes, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. It's our favorite store. Thank you, Heather and Dan, for sponsoring the show. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Mania Club. Established in 2015, Mania Club is a WWE-recognized community for fans with an eclectic love for both the world of professional wrestling and raising money for Connor's cure. During WrestleMania weekend, we host the official tailgate of WrestleMania while also celebrating the life of Connor McCulloch. They're the single largest donor within the V Foundation for Connor's Cure with over $150,000 raised. Please donate and join the Facebook group over at Mania Club. Donate at jimmyv.org/maniaclub. The BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real, 100% of the time. The No Gimmicks Podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Shout out, Kelvin. Check out the No Gimmicks Podcast. Wrestling All Day, All Night is the best wrestling discussion group on Facebook. We provide more of a community feel here and have wrestling fans introduce other fans to something they may have not seen before, such as old school wrestling, indie wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and more. We also strive to be a source for information regarding upcoming wrestler meet and greets and signings. And remember, we're open 24/7, all day, all night. Be sure to follow on socials and join the group on Facebook at Wrestling All Day, All Night. The BCP is also sponsored by Warriors of Wrestling. Warriors of Wrestling proudly presents Intergender Warfare. It's going to be at St. Finbar Catholic Church, 1839 Bath Ave in Brooklyn, New York, Friday, November 10th, featuring Miranda Eleze, Taya Valkyrie, Zaya Brookside, Giselle Shaw, Darius Carter, Vicious Vicky, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now at warriorsofwrestling.com, and don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Please welcome in our new sponsors, the Sweet Chin Musings Podcast. Sweet Chin Musings is the creation of the reigning, rarely defending, highly disputed champion of wrestling podcast, Mr. Perfect Mike Mueller, and his tag team partner in crime, Luke Kudialis. SCM focuses on the in-ring products of WWE and AEW. No dirt sheet rumors here, as well as backstage news, predictions, and analysis of characters, storylines, and major pay-per-views. Old school fans, don't worry, we have you covered too with a look back on classic matches, top 10 lists, and interactive tournaments that let the fans decide who is truly the best of all time. You can find us on Facebook at Sweet Chin Musings, and be sure to check out the podcast on all your favorite podcast major streaming platforms. We also got to shout out our new sponsors, the United States Department of Nerds, the USDN Podcast, a podcast presented by Dat Feeling Podcast Network, LLC. The USDN Podcast is run by Jeffrey T. Fountain, a BCP Plus contributor, Jennifer Johnson, Eric Johnson, and Tay Stith, and is also home to the Queens of Nerdom Podcast. USDN Podcast is a safe place for all nerds where they can come to be entertained, learn, and embrace debate. USDN prides itself on being by the people, for the people, and of the people. Here at the USDN, we strive to bring you the best content we can find where you know it comes with the USDN seal of approval. We always strive to give you factual data, and if it's a rumor, we'll always preface it with the rumor alert before dropping the freshest info. However, once those rumors are proven true, you can bet your money we at USDN are slamming the stamp down and giving it the USDN seal of approval. Hit our links on social media for all our merch. This ad is USDN approved. The BCP is now sponsored by the international shiny star, Ray Kalitri. Kalitri has honed his craft traveling and wrestling all over the world, including destinations such as Mexico, Peru, Puerto Rico, and even Egypt. The ISPW Tri-State Champion and Golden Ticket Holder is also one of the longest reigning ECPW Light Heavyweight Champions in history. Kalitri also holds an international championship that he won in Mexico. Always known for his appreciation of world culture, the Shiny Star is also known for his taste for high fashion, lavish lifestyle, and fast cars. However, he is most prominently known around the globe for his unparalleled in-ring acumen and skill set. Be sure to follow Ray Kalitri across the board on social media, at Kalitri Ray on Twitter, at PAP1Fresh on Instagram, and Ray Kalitri on Facebook. Guys, please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the show, GPW Productions. GPW provides your promotion or event with top-tier video and audio production, live streaming, and more. I can personally vouch for them in saying they're hands down the best production company I've ever worked with, as they continue to work with the likes of AEW, GCW, StarCast, MLW, not to mention the majority of the local independent promotions here in the tri-state area. They can even help you film a vignette or promo for your persona or gimmick. And guess what? GPW doesn't just work in wrestling. They cover MMA, boxing, basketball, or any other sporting event as well. Guys, on a personal note, as always, I'd like to thank Mike Sesko, Frank Leone, O'Neill Andrews, and the team for giving me multiple opportunities to work with them and some of the best talent in the world. Book GPW for a promotion or event today at contact@gpwproductions.com. Thank you to our new November sponsor on the pod and the site, BCP Plus, the Rock and Wrestling Collector located in Stockholm, New Jersey, featuring all of your favorite rock and wrestling collectibles. This is owned by ISPW head honcho, Mr. Tommy Fierro. The Rock and Wrestling Collector makes its grand opening on Black Friday. Don't miss it, and be sure to follow at the WC Store and at 80s Wrestling on socials. Let's rock. Please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the month of November, Pro Wrestling Magic. PWM presents Holiday Road to Kingdom Come at the Mecca in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, and streaming on IWTV on November 25th, featuring Cheeseburger, Darius Carter, Adina Steele, Ruthless Lala, Steve Pena, Kerr, Vinny Pacifico, Death Row, Hispanos Unidos, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsor for the month of November. Savage Kingdom presents an epic Swerve Strickland signing on December 29th in Flushing, New York. Come meet and greet one of AEW's top stars, podcast hosts, and musicians over at the Wrestling Universe. Pre-purchase link in comments for the tickets. And on a personal note, thank you, Greek Savage, for the support and always helping with our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the podcast and the site, Crusaders Collectibles, wrestling games, live signings, and more, and Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook. Crusaders Collectibles is your destination for some of the best signings, live sales, games, and more. They are mostly wrestling, but you may see some other items at times. We are a family here and want everyone to be treated like family. You'll be able to find custom edits, photos, figures, cards, belts, pops, and more here. Many of those will even be autographed. Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook features amazing auctions, sales, pick events, and even mystery drawings for some truly unique items for any serious wrestling collector. Be sure to join the group and get in on the fun. On a personal note, I'd like to thank Emil for all his support of the BCP and our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the month of September, Bubba, Kim, and Gabby, BKG. This family consistently shows their love and support for wrestlers on both the independent and national level, reminding us what this is really all about. Bubba's been a strong supporter of the BCP, primarily in our charity work, donating multiple items, time, and effort. Thank you.
Yo, listen, it's Platinum Max, part of the Acclaim, the Platinum Playboy, best wrestler alive, and you are rocking with the Bob Culture Podcast. Yo, listen, Platinum on the mic, and I'm coming for your ass. I'm listening to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I think it's the hottest show in the game, because them and everybody loves the Acclaim. Now, scissor me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very special Survivor Series predictions panel episode of the BCP. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you to our sponsors. We'll get to you at the end of the show. That's right, Noons. You know it's War Games. We are hyped for this one. So, of course, we got to get our all-star stellar panel back on the show. And please welcome back to the show. He's my brother from another mother. He's the co-host with the most, the literal heart and soul of the BCP. Nooner, Chris Nunez. What's up, bro? How are you, man?
Going on, man. Here to talk about the 37th annual Survivor Series War Games edition. I'm excited, man. Thank you for having me.
Dude, come on, man. My heart and soul. Anytime, brother. And, dude, so glad to have you here. But, of course, we have to welcome back to the show. Let's see. He's the Mr. Perfect of the BCP. I'm a stats guy. He usually gets it right. That's right. You know him from the Sweet Chin Musings podcast, a contributor for BCP Plus and the PopBreak.com. Our good friend, Mr. Mike Mueller. What's up, man?
Not too much. Thanks for having me. I'm excited for this. Survivor Series is always always a good one, and you know, who doesn't love war games, you know?
Dig it, man. It's like we were saying, it's not the road to WrestleMania. It's like the turn off. It's like the off ramp.
It's
the road
to the road to WrestleMania.
That's where it's the service drive to the road to WrestleMania.
It's the detour. Yeah.
Yes.
That's it. And guys, please welcome back to the show. Let's see, you know her from thepopbreak.com. You know her as the host of the Socially Distanced podcast, our good friend and a longtime BCP OG, Amanda Rivas. What's up, Amanda? How are you today?
Hey, I'm so excited to be here with my friends. I love you guys. I'm so happy to be back on with Mr. Perfect and Nunes because I missed you guys. And always a great time to be here, Rob, and to talk about Survivor Series because War Games, you have a Flair, you have a Rhodes. How cool is that in War Games? Ooh, so here for it, excited, and can't wait to talk about it.
Dig it. And Amanda, thank you for joining us. And we do have a special guest today, a well-known name in the Texas area and the independents at large. Please welcome to the show, making his debut, the Flamingo King himself, Mr. Brandon Vice. How are you, sir? Flex on him. How are you, man? Oh,
yeah. Great. Thank you. This is going to be so nerve-wracking, but so much fun. I can't wait to do this.
Dig it, man. And I like having, you know, as someone who's in the business, like we all, you know, do the backstage interviews and commentary and stuff like that. But I always say, man, I am not an in-ring talent, so I'm an outsider looking in. So to have you on the panel, man, this is really cool. So thank you for making the time. I appreciate it, bro.
Oh, thank you.
Dig it. You guys want to get into this one?
Do it.
Let's do it. That's why we're here, right? Let's talk about, oh, mommy number one on the PWI 250. You know, only 184 spots ahead of the Vicious One. I'm obligated to say that at all times. The Women's World Champion, Rhea Ripley, taking on Zoe Stark. Nooner, I'll throw it to you first, man. You know, I've been a big fan of Zoe Stark. She's been great in NXT. It's cool to see her on the main roster. But she's the one to get the tap on the shoulder, take on Rhea here. I have a feeling who you're going to pick to win here. But what do you think about Zoe getting the tap on the shoulder here?
So they had a bit of momentum building from the Crown Jewel Fatal 5-Way where Rhea took her finisher and Zoe had a lot of momentum. But ever since then, and then she won the Battle Royal, like I was telling you guys before, like I completely forgot this match was happening. Rhea's been so involved with Judgment Day business, as they always say on Raw, that I honestly thought she was just going to accompany him to the ring. I totally forgot about this match because they barely interact. They've had a couple of promos here and there. I hope it's a good match. I hope they give it time with it only being five matches on the card. But come on. I mean, Rhea's probably going to hold the title till at least WrestleMania. I don't see her losing this at all. This is probably lock of the night.
Yeah, I'm going to lock it up as well, man. Lock it up. All right. And I think Zoe Stark's phenomenal. And Matt said it on the last show, I think, that we were on, Amanda. Matt had said, I think they're going to give Zoe a look. And they certainly are. She's getting that number one contendership here. So I think it's actually going to be a really cool match, a really fun match. I love new stuff I haven't seen. I love innovative offense. So that being said, you know, Rhea wins here. Lock it up. Lock of the night. Amanda, Brandon, I see you guys nodding over there. Same thoughts down there?
Yeah, it's mommy all the way. She is too pivotal to lose at this point. I'm with Nunes on this one because I think she's going to hold it all the way until WrestleMania. There's nobody on the Raw roster at this point or SmackDown. Again, you've got names, but the focus, you know, the focus is on, of course, some of the other matches, the other match we're going to talk about here in a bit. But, you know, right now there's really nobody to come up against mommy at this point in time where it's a credible threat that she could lose her title. Zoe is going to look great in this match. I'm excited to see it. You know, I think they've got the time, which is great too. It would be a crime if they cut this match short. Timing-wise, I'd be really upset. But Zoe can go in the ring. And anybody that can make Rhea go in the ring, it's going to be a good time. So, yay, women's wrestling. Hopefully, finally.
Yeah, I dig it.
Rhea all the way, of course, but they're going to give Zoe her nod. She's going to get her time to shine. This is where they're going to show what moves she can do, what her psychology is like, and Rhea is actually just going to help elevate that platform. So I think it's going to be a really good match. It's going to be, I don't think, a long match, actually. I think it's probably going to be 5 to 7, if that. And I think just give her that good look. Okay, you did good. Now let's keep working to get you up to that next level.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. You know, she was under the wing, obviously, of Trish right now. I'd like to see her a little bit more on the mic to see what she can do there, because she's got it done in the ring, man. And I like what you said about the in-ring psychology. And that's a great match. You guys brought a great point you guys bring up about the match is like the amount of time it gets, because we have to also assert mommy's dominance. As Jeffrey T. Fountain in the chat says, mommy's always on top. I knew that was coming. Bubba John, welcome in on the chat, saying the new Nunes world order. Mr. Perfect, let's throw it to you, man, the voice of reason, man. Mommy's on top here.
Mommy's on top for sure. I was kind of disappointed with the battle royal leading into it. I thought that a lot of other women actually ended up looking stronger than Zoe Stark did, even though she won. I thought it was fun to watch Nia Jax kind of mock people and do that sort of thing. Ivy Nile looked great. They gave her a great little debut. I thought maybe she was going to win it. So it bummed me out, because I want whoever faces Rhea Ripley, especially if it is going to be a longer match, it's someone that we want to at least hope has a chance. And I just don't feel like Zoe Stark's performance, through no fault of her own, but just the way it was booked, she's not coming across as looking like a very big threat to Rhea. In fact, Rhea's already dismissing her and still focusing more on Judgment Day stuff, which might come back to bite her. I don't know if it's going to bite her here, but I think eventually that's why she's going to lose the title, is because she's going to be too focused on other things, not focused on the task at hand of defending the title. But to echo what Amanda said, the Raw women's roster right now, I mean, you have Becky, but she's doing her thing with Xia Li. You've got some names, but there's really nobody that's kind of stepped up to the plate, if you will, as far as being a big enough threat to Rhea Ripley. And she's just on such another level with everything that she's doing. She is the leader of the Judgment Day, make no mistake about it. And to have her lose here, I don't see that happening. She's gonna lock this up.
I think that's a great point, what you said at the end there. She is the leader of the Judgment Day. I can't push back on that one too much. We heard Damian Priest say he was the leader, man. I agree with you, Mr. Perfect, over there. Jeffrey in the chat saying Ivy and Zoe both have bright futures and no doubt will be champs one day. And Bubba John in the chat saying, I'm liking Stark versus Rhea. I didn't mean to cut you off, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, you're going to say Damian Priest is the leader of the Judgment Day for that match. And the only reason that he's the leader of the Judgment Day for that match is because mommy's not in it. If mommy was in that match, she would be the leader of the Judgment Day for that match. Make no mistake about it.
One on five. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. All right. Let's take it to this match. You guys know Rey Mysterio's my guy. You know, we saw what happened. We saw the aftermath of Crown Jewel. You know, did Santos do what he did on purpose? You know, they kind of called him out, and then the attack on Rey Mysterio. That's my dude, you know, and he had surgery. You know, I was hoping, man, Rey would be involved in this pay-per-view or PLE, excuse me, in some form or fashion. But you know what? That's not cool. And this guy, Santos Escobar, is going to take on Carlito back in the WWE. Brandon, I'll throw it to you first. What do you think of this one?
I actually think it's a really good match. Not everyone's been focused on that. You got the storyline going, but now you got Carlito coming out. He's old school. You get in the rub with new guy, and they're going to take the story and run with it. It's not just going to be a one-off. I think, you know, Santos is going to win tonight. It's going to be dirty. He's going to be pissed. It's going to lead up to Rey coming back, where he's going to get that revenge match. Rey's going to come back. He's going to get that win, the feel good. Everyone's happy. But tonight, it's going to be, I think, a hard-hitting, high-flying, and I think Santos is walking out with the win.
Yeah, I think it's an important win for Santos as well. Amandalorian, do you agree?
I agree. I think Santos needs it. I mean, his he's a fun heel. I'm enjoying it right now. You know, I love his little online, like, don't come back. Was it for where he posted his picture from the surgery? I was like, I am here for this. The promo he cut, the heat he got with the whole, I hope he gets infected or something. I was just like, okay. I'm here for this. So if you need a good heel turn to start and just go, you need the momentum. So I agree with my counter, my significant flamingo other here, in that I think we're going to have a good match here. I think this is going to be an underrated match, because a lot of the other matches have such prominence. Again, you've got the War Games matches. You have, of course, we'll talk about my lovely Gunther. But I think this is going to be like kind of one of those like dark horses could steal the night. Maybe I mean, I still think I have my other match that I think will be the match of the night, but this will be a very solid, fun match, very hard hitting. But Santos is gonna, he's heel. He's gonna do something dirty to get the win, and they have to keep the storyline going somehow until Rey makes his return and makes Rob's day when he runs back in the ring. And they need the publicity for this match because it raised, I want to say Rey Mysterio's show is coming out soon on Cartoon Network. So so there's that as well. So that's, I'm going with Santos on this one.
I may or may not have sent some emails. That's the dream interview right there. So we'll see if they're doing some promotion for that show. Fingers crossed. We'll see. Nunes, I'm going to throw it to you first, not to make Mike go last again, because I know he's got a lot of good stuff coming up. But let's be real, Nunes, he had surgery 5 times on his left knee.
Bro. That's 6 times now, right?
Yeah.
I was about to say 6, I thought.
Inside joke there. We don't mean to laugh. We love Ray, but I had to pop on that.
Yeah, I'm going with Santos on this. You know, why Santos? Why? You know, the big, huge heel turn. On paper, you would think it would be a high-flying, you know, affair, but I think it's going to be more mat-based. I think Santos is going to show a darker side, and I think he might actually take out Carlito. I think he might try to take out each one of the LWL one by one to lead up to WrestleMania to have this big, you know, return for Rey. But yeah, Santos is definitely going to cheat, and he's going to get the dirty win.
Yeah, very well said. Jeffrey T. Fountain again in the chat. He does our SmackDown coverage over on BCP Plus, guys, so check that out. Thank you for doing that. He says Santos definitely takes this round, but we're going to see some Carlito classics for sure. He said that promo was nasty. I couldn't even repeat a lot of what he said on my write-up on last week's SmackDown. For sure. Mike, give us your Mr. Perfect analysis here, bro.
Sure. So first of all, I just want to congratulate Santos Escobar for finally doing what he should have done a long time ago and dump the deadbeat dad, Rey Mysterio, who
you're not wearing your always a heel shirt.
Who he abandoned. Where was, when LWO was having their matches, where was Rey Mysterio? Nowhere to be found because he was busy with his U.S. title and he didn't care about those guys. Never did. Came in, took over a faction that already existed and said, I'm just going to make this my thing and we're going to call it my stuff and we're going to do what I want to do. And then as soon as they need him, he's nowhere to be found. Then Carlito calls out Santos Escobar. Carlito, who's been here for 6 seconds. And then all of a sudden, Rey is taking Carlito's word over Santos, who's his boy, who's had his back from the beginning. Santos comes out in a Tony Montana suit. He is the bad guy, but I'm sorry. In this, he's still the good guy. I am so on Santos's side. This is not even funny. This is like good for you, Santos, for finally stepping up. Shame on the rest of the LWO for not having your back. And if I'm Santos, first thing I'm doing is I'm blacking out that tattoo on my hand because I don't have any association with the LWO anymore. Forget that. That doesn't deserve to be on him. Santos Escobar is going to rock this. He is going to take out every member of the LWO leading up to it. You know, Rob, I'm sorry. I know that your boy, but he wasn't a great dad to Dominic and he wasn't a great leader for this faction. And Santos deserves to step out and do his thing. I'm so proud of him. I love him. And Santos was a fine baby face. You know, he worked that style really well, that luchador style really well. But if you go back to his matches in NXT when he was working heel, oh my God. Like we don't even know what, if you weren't watching NXT and you only know the main roster version of Santos Escobar, you are going to be blown away in this match. This dude works heel like very few people do. Like what he was saying in that promo, he's going to back it up by being just as vicious with his actions in the ring. It's going to be awesome.
Well, Mike, thank you for a few minutes of your time. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. No, man, I'll give you this, Mike. All right. You know Ray is my guy, but I'll give you this, man. I will agree with you on what you said about the NXT stuff, and I was going to say it as well. Much better as a heel, Santos, yeah. Man. He's killing it. And even in that promo, I don't know how to describe it. His facials, you know, his mannerisms, man. Even like the sweat, like I don't know how to describe it, man. He was just so like impassioned, I guess the word is I'm looking for in that promo. It made it a lot more believable for me, and it was great. That being said, yes, I do think he's going to win here. And that being said, I think Carlito is also better as a heel. That being said, now's not the time to pull the trigger on that. So.
I do. It also makes Santos look really stupid if he turns on Rey in the LWO and then in his first match he loses. Like, then it's like, maybe you shouldn't have done this in the first place, bro. Like, it just kills all the momentum. And also, and I do want to say that this is not, if you've been listening to the Sweet Chin Musings podcast, which you all should because it's incredible, I have been saying this for a couple months about why is Rey not backing up. So I think this is something that they've been planting those seeds, and that's a story that's going to continue to be told, especially when Rey comes back and we build up for that WrestleMania match. You're going to get a lot of like, hey, remember this on SmackDown 6 months ago? Where were you when we needed you? Where were you for that? Like, they're going to play that story a lot. Rey is not going to look very good going into WrestleMania. They're going to kind of do him dirty, and I'm excited for it.
Mike, I'm glad you're having a great last showing here on the.
It's been a blast. I'm going out.
I kid. He's Mr. Perfect for a reason, man. And surprisingly, he is hardly wrong. So the stats don't lie. That's the new shirt for Mueller. Yes. And Bubba in the chat. And here come the Mueller fans. All right. Once again, Mike Mueller dropping knowledge, man. It checks out sometimes. I hate to admit it. But let's go to the next one. Amanda, I'm going to go to you first because you know where we're going. The intern. One of the best, if not the best, intercontinental champions of all time, Gunther, taking on The Miz, who's arguably one of the best intercontinental champions of all time, a man who made that title very, very relevant for a long time. We saw some great promos between these two. Amanda, I'm curious your thoughts on the winner and also kind of the promos going into this one.
Oh, I'm so excited for this match. Anytime we have a Gunther match, I'm like, yay, because I know it's going to be. For me, I think this is going to be match of the night unless War Games, unless the men's goes crazy in some way, shape, or form. It's going to take a lot to overshadow a Gunther match because, again, technically, beautiful work in the ring. I feel like whoever's in the ring with him gets elevated, and you have The Miz. Like, this is such a, you know, I think a lot of people forget because The Miz, of course, everyone's looking at his reality shows. Everybody's looking at, you know, kind of the latter half of The Miz's career, but he's honestly really very, very good in the ring. So I mean, you have, again, the promos, you have the ring work. Like, this match is going to be fantastic, and I really finally feel like maybe, just maybe, my boy's title reign might be challenged here because you have The Miz, who has elevated this belt before and just really brought it into the forefront. So it's a nice feeling to feel like that Gunther is actually might be in a little bit of trouble with this match. And then, of course, you know, you have kind of what's going on with Imperium and whatnot too. So I mean, there's a lot of different components here that, you know, you could move the Imperium story a little bit more. You could, there's I think this is finally a point where the story around Gunther, like, you know, his actual reign is challenged. It's not going to be just he's here to put on a great match, we're excited, I pop for it every time. But now we have an actual story. There's moving pieces around him. And that's what makes this match so exciting. I feel like they're going to go. They're really going to let them go. And I think right now the crowd is buying Miz as a babyface and just, you know, why just let the Miz have his moment. Let the Miz just enjoy. And so I still feel like Gunther's going to retain at this point. I do. Although I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he dropped the belt. The Miz would be I would be fine if The Miz took the belt at this point, but I still think Gunther's going to retain. And so they're going to have a great match. I'm here for it with the popcorn, Biggie style. Just, yeah, that's going to be me. I'm excited for this match.
Nice. Oh, Brandon, do you agree that Gunther's going to win this one?
I do. He's had that reign going. They got the momentum. They're not going to stop it. I think this is going to be the match on the card where everyone holds their breath. Because they're going to put on that great match where you finally think The Miz is going to get it. Somehow he's going to get that skull crushing finale. One, two. Oh, my God. How did he kick out? And babyface Miz, I'm trying to think the last time he was actually like a legit baby. Not like tweener that he was, you know, a couple years ago. He's coming in. He's doing all these different moves that you don't even see. And it's amazing. And the crowd's reacting. And I'm over there watching like, man, I was like, he's doing that. I was like, why can't I do stuff like that? So, I mean, his new creativity with the style, he's mixing in the old style, but he's throwing in a lot of new stuff. And the fans are reacting very well to it. And I think this mixture is what's going to get Gunther off guard, because he's so used to classic Hill Miz. This is what he's going to do. Now with this new flying around full speed coming at you, it's going to catch him off guard, but it's not going to be enough to actually put him down.
Wow, really well said. This is why I like having the workers here, man, because you don't talk about just like who's just going to win, man. You're talking about like work rate and spots and like the false finishes and stuff like that, man. And this is kind of, I feel like as journalists, sometimes we kind of forget about that, man. So I appreciate you adding that. That's great. Jeffrey T. Fountain, once again in the chat, bro, he says, Miz dethrones Gunther. You heard it here first. Miz returns to a heel. We've seen elements of it during their last confrontation. Dude, I'm going to respectfully disagree here, man. Back to what Brandon was saying. We were down in, it was either Albany or Baltimore. She had an extra work opportunity. So, of course, my job is to carry all the bags and do all the drive. No, I kid. But I was there, and as I should. And Miz is like doing springboards all of a sudden at this one show. And he's doing all, and I'm like, okay, Miz, like, oh, sure, why not? Like, good for you. You've been doing this for a long time, trying some new stuff. I think I tweeted something about it. I was really, really impressed. I mean, that screamed babyface to me. And he's one of those, like, MJF. He wants him to go this way, they'll go this way. He wants him to go this way, they'll go this way. Like, palm of his hand, it's the Miz. Mad respect. I'm here for babyface Miz. I think he's going to embrace it. And to Brandon's point, I think that's going to throw Gunther a little bit. That being said, Gunther retains, no question. Let's throw it to Mueller.
Yeah, I think they did a great disservice in not building this up more. I don't think they really thought it would be as good as it is. Like, because Miz, like you said, you asked when's the last time Miz was a true babyface. Last time I could think of was when Ric Flair gave him the figure four. And that was what, 10 years ago? Nine years ago?
2013.
So 10 years ago. And it was not good. That babyface Miz run was horrible. You got people rooting for Curtis Axel. That ain't easy to do. So, you know, it did not work. This works. And I don't like living in a world where Miz is babyface. I feel like I don't understand it. It's not up is down, left is right, that sort of thing. But it's working. And it sucks that we only got essentially 2 weeks of build. I think that they actually, if they do it right and they do put on the banger that Amanda says they're going to, I can see them running this back. I can see this going a little bit further and giving him more of a chance. Because, yeah, we are going into this going, well, except for Jeffrey T. Fountain, which there's some kind of Kool-Aid coming out of that fountain, because I don't know. I don't see how that's going to win. But if you give this enough teeth, you can get me to believe that the Miz can be the one to be thrown him. I'm just not there yet. And to what Amanda said with the moving parts with Imperium, there is, let's not forget, Giovanni Vinci's messed things up for them a lot in six-man matches and tag matches and singles matches for Marcel Barthel. So that can come into play and it can happen, but you just haven't given me enough in the short period of time to believe that the Miz is going to be the one to do it. Run it back, give this another month of build, and you can get me there. You're just not there yet. Gunther, excuse me.
No, man. Good stuff as always, man. Nooner, what do you got on this?
Yeah, like we were talking about, if you would have told me a year or two ago that eventually the Miz is going to turn babyface, I'd be like, that's the wrong move. But if you talk to casual fans that don't really watch wrestling but watch Miz and Mrs., the Miz is naturally charismatic and they all love him. He's like a big, like always with the dad jokes and things like that. I've always had respect for the Miz. He's way better as a bad guy. But in this case now, he's at the point in his career where it's like, damn, I don't like his face, but he spits facts every time he's in the ring. And every time he talks on the mic, it's like he speaks truth. So I get it. As far as him and Gunther go, I love their clash of styles. Gunther, the more physical, as opposed to the Miz, where he's a little bit flashier. And like you were saying, like he's kind of adding things to his arsenal as this new babyface. Like I agree with Mueller, the fact that I feel like it's not enough build. It's not enough to get me behind the fact that the Miz can dethrone him, even with his whole history and his career. Gunther is retaining, but I could see this extending to possibly the Royal Rumble. I don't know about WrestleMania, but yeah, Gunther's retaining.
Yeah, I think we all agree there. Jeffrey, the rebuttal in the chat saying, I'm definitely going against the grain here. This one, I'm a Miz fan. Yeah, for sure. Pick him with your heart, man. I do it all the time, man. Usually doesn't end well. But I digress. That being said, man, I think it's going to be a really great match, a possible match of the night here. Miz is just, I feel like he's just going to pull out something we haven't seen from him yet. So it should be really good. All right, guys, let's get into our first War Games match.
It didn't hit the same with Adam Pearce saying it, but I mean they had to have someone say it.
He did a good job, and I thought the same thing. Yeah. It's a no-win situation for sure, but he did and overall him and Aldis have been doing great stuff as well. I've really enjoyed like having like the actual general managers and stuff like that. So that
shout out to Nick Aldis.
Yes.
Aldis and a bag of potato chips. All right, so we have the Judgment Day with Drew McIntyre, not officially part of the Judgment Day, going on record saying that. Again, who knows what is and what isn't. Versus Sami Zayn, Seth frickin' Rollins, Cody Rhodes, main event Jey Uso, and the returning Randy Orton. Now, guys, there it is. Nuna's flexing on him. I think we could go process of elimination route, however you guys want to do it. You know, you got to do the math here. We have 10 people. We know the rules for War Games. In the chat, let us know what you guys think as well. I definitely want to hear your theories. I'm kind of stuck on this one, man. I'm basically doing my pick based on like how the stories play out afterwards, like how important a win for what team would mean here. Obviously, we have a returning Orton. Do we see Orton in some sort of losing situation on a return? Mike, I'll throw it to you first, man, because you probably have a really good answer.
Smart move. So this is going to be the match of the night, and it's for two-word explanation. Cody Rhodes. You are not going to put Cody Rhodes in a War Games match and not have him just absolutely deliver and tear the house down. This is going to be a match of the night. I'm very much looking forward to it. I am so happy for Drew McIntyre. This is the most organic heel turn that I've seen in a long time. Every promo that he cuts, especially the one that he cut most recently on Monday night, is so true. And like everything that he said, is the dude just spits facts. And he's not going to be part of the Judgment Day. That's not what it is. He made the deal with Rhea Ripley, not with Damian Priest. Notice that, because mommy is the true leader. You give me an opportunity to get Jey Uso in a steel cage, I'm going to take it. And he absolutely should. I feel very, very bad for Jey Uso and his family, or at least the ones that like him, because this is going to be nasty. Drew is going to get his revenge on Jey Uso. That's going to be a major storyline throughout the match. Ultimately, I have to go with the baby faces, and it's not an elimination match. You know, it's first to surrender after all of them are in. I mean, how do you not have Dominic Mysterio be the one to say I quit? Like, it's too easy not to. You could have JD do it. I don't think Priest or Finn Balor will do it. But I do think that this is going to be a major rift for the Judgment Day coming out of this. You know, Damian Priest, this was your shot to be leader. You call yourself leader. You wanted to be leader. We made you leader and you failed. Why should we give you another chance? What's going on with that? I think ultimately this leads to a lot more dissension and the eventual removal of Damian Priest from the group. I think that he's got a babyface turn coming probably around the Royal Rumble. But this to me has to be babyfaces for a couple reasons. Like I said, Cody Rhodes cannot be taking losses between now and WrestleMania. And now that the writer's strike is over and Cena and The Rock are presumably out of the picture, this is a clear road, no pun intended, for WrestleMania for Cody. It's that spot is solidified and he cannot take losses. Even if he's not the one, you know, tapping out, just being on the losing team does him no favors. Randy Orton is back. Randy could turn heel. He's only done it about 400 times in his career. So this would be 4-1, big moment for him. But to do it right away, we want to cheer for Randy, at least for a moment. He's back. It's been a long time. He's back. I don't see anything like that. And again, with the return, it just makes sense for him to be on the winning team, be part of the winning team. And I just don't see what anybody gains from the Judgment Day winning this. It just, they've got gold, they've got their briefcase, they've got their stuff, they're fine. the babyface team needs this win. All of these babyfaces need this win. Drew does not get hurt by a loss. He's been taking losses a lot lately. He's not concerned about winning. Drew does not care if he wins this match. He just wants to put Jay on the shelf, and he'll get the opportunity to do that. So I don't see any world in which the Judgment Day benefits from winning here. So I got to go with my boy Cody and the babyfaces to get a big win.
Good stuff, man. I'm glad I threw it to you first, man. Because great point. I said process of elimination. It is not an elimination match. Take into the account, I meant the entrances.
No, we can do that.
If you got something, please. Sure. No, I was complimenting you. Yeah,
I'll throw it on the fly.
All right.
So I think it makes a lot of sense for Finn to start. The dude is a workhorse. He can go the whole way.
Cody's coming in tail end. We got to protect Cody at all costs.
I think Cody is coming in tail end. I see it being for the heat, or we'll go back and forth because that's how it works.
All right.
Let's say start with Finn and Sammy. Bring in JD, bring in Jey Uso, bring in Drew McIntyre because he's got to come in right after Jey Uso. I'm going to say Cody comes in fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
You save Dom because you know he's the weak link and you don't want to overexpose him. So then maybe Dom, save Randy for the end for the big pop. And then Damian Priest as the leader comes in last. That's also going to look bad on his part. You're the leader and you wanted to take the least amount of damage. Come on, bro. Leaders go in first. Like if you were a real leader, you would have stepped up from the beginning. So let's do that. And then, Cody makes Dom submit.
Yeah. Good stuff. I wrote them down, man. We'll, if you get them all right, I'll send you a free shirt or something like that, man. That's pretty good, man. You got to go.
I'm already wearing a hole in this one, so, you know.
My dude. I respect it. Brandon, I want to throw it to you, man, because we talk about, you know, like the spots, the entry, all that stuff. As an in-ring performer, man, kind of want to get your read on this because I think I could also make a case for the judge. It's not my official pick yet. I'm going to hear all y'all, but I can make a case for the Judgment Day winning here too. What do you got, Brandon?
Oh, definitely not. It's babies all the way. You're going to have that dissension because it's not unified. You got Judgment Day bickering. You got McIntyre in there, right? You got JD in there. That's three different personalities you're trying to make work together. Sure, it's a steel cage. Sure, it's fighting. But at the end of it, it still comes down to everyone trying to work together. Now, with the baby faces, they've been unified these past couple of weeks. They've been fighting. They've been, you know, backing each other up. Now you got Randy coming in. They know he's an anchor. They're not worried. But with the babies, they're going to get this win. And I actually like the format that he put because Finn does go. He does start. Yeah. And I would put him right in with Sammy because Sammy, you can tell he goes too. He's taken all the beatings. He's had many runs with all the different promotions. He shows that he can keep going. And I think it'll be a good start because they're going to get it going right away where everyone wants to see that action. Dom towards the end, he is the weakest of the ones. I'm going between Dom and JD for the give up. I mean, one of those two is the weaker links of the two. You really haven't got to see JD do too much here and WWE compared to like an NXT and stuff like that. So right now they haven't really showcased him. I think maybe a little bit more down the road, they'll actually give him that showcase where he can show, I'm not the weak one. Here's what I can do. But as of tonight, it's one of those two that's going to end up causing him to lose. And then Randy, he's going to hit the RKO out of nowhere, and then they're going to get him in with either the submission or something. But I think someone's taking all the finishes tonight.
Yeah. That's a great point.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah. And I'm here for it too. Amanda, before I throw it to you in the chat, people saying Randy gonna Randy at the end. I think we all know what that means. Gina Russman in the chat, welcome in. I have a feeling that Randy Orton will stab his teammates in the back, which is another prevalent theory here in the chat. Amanda, are you agreeing with Brandon here?
I agree. This is gonna be the babies. You know, if you want the momentum, you know, Mike hit the nail on the head with Cody Rhodes. because right now you need Cody Rhodes. Cody's at a critical juncture. And I talked about this even with the last pay-per-view. It's, you know, Cody Rhodes is at a critical juncture here. One, it's a War Games. I mean, his dad, the legacy, right? I mean, that's we're starting to rebuild that story, because Cody's whole story is capturing the title he never lost. He needs to keep going to tell that story has to come to a culmination here. It's either now or never, because the longer that you drag out this story, it's going to hurt Cody, and he's going to, you know, his pop, it's still there. It's still there, but it's still, you can tell it's starting to taper down a little bit. His momentum is hurting. He needs something to keep going. So I think we're going to see Cody do something crazy in the ring, something just riding off the energy. So I feel like Cody's going to have some really fun spots. Again, this is a legacy match for him too. So I think we're going to get a lot of Cody showcasing, and it's going to be great. Definitely Randy's going to do something with two rings. I mean, he has to. I feel like JD is going to be the one that submits. And I feel like it's going to be because of something that Damian Priest has him do. There has to be something more concrete for him to take the blame. So I feel like there's going to be some kind of, okay, I see Mike.
No, I don't want to cut you off. I just don't want to forget my point. Finish your thing. And then I just want to say one thing.
But yeah, so I feel like, you know, there has to be some kind of miscommunication that Damian Priest is going to be in the center of. I feel like Dominic is going to be the one that takes all the finishes. But somehow he's going to eat I think he's going to be the one that eats the glorious RKO. And the crowd is going to go crazy for it. I'm including myself at home going crazy for it. And, you know, I feel like it's smart to put Randy at the end, too, because, again, he just came back from a major injury. He's been gone since, what, May 2022? Pretty much, I want to say, like, end of May. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you've got ring rust. You've got things like that to consider. So I think, you know, that's a smart way to not only let him get the pop, but to let him ease his way back in as well. You know, obviously, you know, I feel like Rhea's going to come out in some way, shape, or form and try to interfere. And it's not going to go well. I just really want Jay to, like, just hit on her again. I feel like it's going to be just... That whole thing has been a fun side storyline. So, but I think, like, you know, like Mike, like you said, Drew and Jay, they're going to be doing their own thing, but really, you know, the babies need it at this point. And I mean, I don't see Randy turning heel right now. Do I see it down the line? Yes, because you do need someone credible. We were talking about this earlier, actually, because you have Seth Rollins holding this belt right now, and he has been working injured with his back. I mean, we all saw how he looked at Crown Jewel. Like, that aftermatch, like, that was legit. You know, he's hurting. Rollins doesn't have as much time. And you need somebody who can take that belt. If they have to remove it right away from Rollins, God forbid. But if they need to do that, Randy Orton is a shoe-in, because he's got the momentum. He can be obviously, we've seen his heel work. To me, I prefer him as a heel. So he's obviously great in that capacity. And he's somebody who is a mainstream name, because you also don't have Roman defending until Royal Rumble, and you have Roman defending sporadically. So you need somebody like Seth, who's carrying the load right now. So I feel like Randy's there. He's a great insurance policy. He's going to turn heel at some point, and I feel like he could take it off Rollins. But that's later down the line, but this is going to be a fun match. And I think, you know, I'm with you, Mike. I feel like this could be the match of the night. I think we're going to get the spots, and Finn and Sammy, great call about them starting it from both of y'all. I think they're going to set the pace, and this is going to be one of those fun, frenetic, viral moment type of matches in the best possible way. But
love it. Really good stuff. Mike, you had a little something.
Yeah, I just want to, so my reason why I don't think you have JD take the loss for Judgment Day is because of the distrust that Damian Priest and JD had, and which has kind of been tapered down lately, but there is that natural distrust. If JD is the one to lose it for the Judgment Day, even though Priest is the leader, he can point and say, look, this outsider came in, I don't trust him, he's not right for us, this is why he doesn't belong. And that's a great case for Damian Priest to make. And we don't want Damian Priest to have anything to hold on to. He has to look foolish. He has to be able, he has to take 100% of the blame. And if JD takes it, he can go like, look, I haven't liked this guy from the beginning. Whereas Dom, Dom's been his boy from the beginning. So he can't pass the blame off on Dom the same way he can pass the blame off on JD. But I do agree, Amanda, like you did say that that did make sense, where if JD is the one to take the loss, it's because he was doing something at the direction of Damian Priest directly. So that is possible. I just think it's a stronger argument against Priest if JD is not the one who takes the loss.
To me, that definitely makes sense. But I also think at the same time, it depends on how long they want this storyline to continue in terms of the Judgment Day continuing. Cause they right now, other than, you know, the Bloodline, really, you have the Judgment Day storyline. That's one of the core storylines. So, I mean, you got to have something going again without Roman being here, you know, there's no other major line. So I think it just is all going to come down to, you know, cause ideally I agree with the case to be made for Damian Priest saying, I didn't pick this one. I told you from the beginning, but I just think if they needed to continue and hold off the implosion a little bit longer, that might be why.
Good counter.
Yeah. Very, very good. I also like what you said about like the spots in this one. I could see, cause we saw Cody do the moonsault on Wardlow off the cage. So would they let Cody take that risk? I feel like he's going to want to do it. That is the question right now. Like I said, protect Cody at all costs. I don't think there's enough space between the two rings and the ropes, but Orton does that like DDT hang off the ropes. I could see him getting a guy one way and the other way and go down, but I don't think there's enough room for that. But really, really good stuff. Nunes, before I go, I'm going to throw it to you, man. My brother from another mother, you know, I take all my problems and I just throw them right at you and say, I see what comes back, man. Help me out here, bro. What do you got?
I agree with everybody on the panel so far. I think the baby faces win, but there's going to be a little bit more dissension than we think. Cody's going to hold them all together. But if you guys remember, Sammy and Rollins had that pretty damn good world title match a couple weeks ago. And a lot of people were telling Sammy that he's not world championship material. He's been coming out with the fiery, you know, promos like I'm here, you know, I stand up for bully. I stand up to bullies, this and that. And then when Cody announced that Randy Orton was the fifth guy, you saw Jey Uso's face kind of go, ooh. So I think we're going to get, I don't think it's going to cost them the match, but I think Randy Orton's one of those guys. I think he's one of the only few that could do a heel move and not make him full blown heel. Like he could RKO Jey Uso after the match, after they're celebrating and everybody has their hands up, and he can hit Jey with an RKO and just kind of shrug his shoulders and walk away. And it won't seem like it's a full blown heel thing. You get it, because the Bloodline, you know, put him out of action. As far as the order that they're going to come in, I do think that Finn is going to start, but I think Rollins might actually start with Finn, and then we'll go JD, we'll go Sammy, we'll go Cody, and then we'll go Damian. And then we'll go Drew, and then Jay, and then Dom is going to get the biggest boo because everybody's going to be like, oh, of course he's going to come out last. And it makes sense for Randy to come out last because, A, he'll get the biggest pop of the night, and B, you know, to reserve him because he's been on the shelf for so long. I think Rollins is going to do something crazy off the top. I think Cody's going to try to outdo him and do the moonsault off the top. Don't be surprised if you see a Dom frog splash off the top too.
Whoa. All right.
But I do think that the baby faces do win.
Interesting stuff. And Kofi Weedston in the chat from Dirty My Heels guy. Podcast saying, oh, we live, baby. Miss you, Kofi. Haven't seen you in a while, man. Let us know
who
you got.
We're always live, baby.
That's it with Kofi Weedston. You know that's true. Good to see you here, man. Thanks for watching, man. Let us know who you got. I think, man, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm going to go the different direction because everyone's going that way. I think what Nunes says, that look on Jey Uso's face, to me, I think is kind of like the core of any sort of storytelling or aftermath here. I think that's a really key point. I'm just thinking, you know, like we always say on the podcast, all right, what's next, right? First of all, I think you all make a strong and it's a really safe bet too. Case for the baby faces for sure. I'm going to get a little interesting here. And in the chat, I even see after the match, Damian Priest will try to cash in on Seth. That's interesting if they all, you know, go through war for sure. That's an interesting Gina saying that in the chat. I think that's a very fair point. There's a lot of people out there, too. So it could be a false cash in and that could play out in a certain way. So that's a great point, Gina. Thank you for bringing that up. The cash in possibilities are there. But I think the story after this is whatever relationship Jay and Cody have, which has been really fun and really good. You know, we talk about the t-shirts and the media. There it is, the media screen and all, all that good stuff, man. And Randy coming in, does that cause some sort of wedge? I feel the story here is just like Brock was for Cody. What if Randy was the next speed bump on the road to WrestleMania? Speed bump's too little of a term, but the next, before you get to the final boss, Nunes, you know what I'm saying, man? It's like Bebop and Rocksteady before you get the Shredder, you know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. Yeah, you have to go, you know what I'm saying? You have to go through someone, man. Who's gonna, you know, be in your way at the Royal Rumble? I'm sure Cody's gonna be in that Rumble match. So, yeah, I just think Randy Orton versus Cody, like, is a really good feud. And just from a behind the curtain perspective, I'm sure that he's Orton wants to be involved in whatever Cody's doing right now. And well, it just makes sense for Orton to put Cody over in my
and
mind.
And their history writes itself with them being in Legacy. Yeah. It writes itself.
Dude, I agree. Same brain, man. But for that reason, I just think there's more of a story here. And again, the dissension in the Judgment Day is a story in itself, and we've seen that played out every week. I'm going to see like this really dominant performance by the babyfaces, but a miscommunication, a misstep, maybe an Orton just slamming everyone down, and a really like, we're all feeling good, you know, Dusty Rhodes in this match, and just a surprising big letdown here. I'm going to take a left turn on this one. I'm going to go with the odd. Pains me to say it. No disrespect. I'm gonna go Judgment Day here, guys. Let us know in the chat, man. We'll see. It's not the safe bet. I see Mueller's face.
I said good for you. Like, you brought up some good points. Yeah. And I do want to say one other thing, please. But first, I wanted to get over to Brandon though, because you looked like you were gonna say something about the Randy Orton double DDT spot, and I was curious.
Most times they have that space, so if he doesn't take the bump. And he has them hooked. They can take the apron, and he just drops down, and he lands on his feet. I'm like, you got the double DDT right there, and
he doesn't have to take the bump.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah,
nice.
But I mean, that's also depending if they want to take that sideways bump though, because they're going to be at an angle going down.
Yeah, and also there's probably like that. I don't know. Is there like a little like wedge between the two rings there too? I don't know.
No, most of them, you have the cables that hold on to the poles.
Okay.
So unless there's any like ladders, tables, anything else they have under, most of the time they keep those over towards the front or the sides. But if they're doing the side-by-side match, they keep that area clear just in case something does happen. You don't want to fall and then you land on something. Yeah.
Good call, man. This is why you're here. You're definitely coming back, bro. Good stuff.
That's awesome.
Hell of a debut. Now let's talk about the winners.
No, hold on, hold on.
Yeah, please. I'm sorry, bro. Go ahead.
It's okay. So your Randy Cody storyline is so good that to me you don't wedge it in here. You keep Randy babyface and Cody's buddy until Cody wins against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40, maybe. Who knows? With the way it goes, and then the next night on Raw, his best friend Randy is out there and he's like, now is my opportunity to turn on you because now you have something that I can get. If he does turn before, he's going to turn on Rollins, and Randy and Rollins makes sense. And that is so good. But to me, with the legacy storyline and all that stuff, you can take that from WrestleMania to SummerSlam. You know what I mean? Like you can do a lot more with that. If you try to wedge it in now as just like a final stop on Cody's way, I think you rush it, and I think you leave meat on the bone. So I say hold off on it. Keep Randy babyface till the Raw after WrestleMania, and then he RKOs your new Universal Champion, Cody Rhodes.
I'll say this. I do agree that it is rushing it a bit. You know, he's just coming back, but he's done all the fun baby stuff with Riddle, and we saw that he could do that. We saw his range with that, man. And then, like we said earlier, he can do whatever he wants, man. That's a good point, too, though. I like the idea of him being before the final boss, which is Roman in my mind. I like him being a stepping stone, if that's the right term. I'm trying to think of a more respectful term, but I think it makes sense. But it's like, how do we get there? You don't want to rush it. I see what you're saying too. Kelvin from the No Gimmicks podcast.
My boy.
Yeah, and he has some good stuff. I don't know if I agree with you on this one. He says, no, Cody is the one turning. Cody is Anakin. Randy is Obi-Wan. Paul Heyman is Palpatine. Cody turns at Mania. This just got deep. My mind is just like, and the Star Wars references. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
I don't even know how to react to that. Kelvin, welcome. Oh, my gosh.
I just need to say one thing.
Yeah,
first of all,
please. Yeah.
Much appreciated. Can we just talk about how this is a travesty that there's no fun team names for one?
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, this is the time to have like a fun, especially with Randy Orton coming in and this kind of, again, you have a Flair, you have a Rhodes here. This could have been we could have had some fun team names like back in the day.
Yes.
Nobody on the teams wore face paint. So you know how like the one war games, I think it was the War Raiders and Ricochet and Pete Dunne, they all wore like similar face paint, or maybe they'll have similar gear. Like, yeah, you're right. Like they should do something like that.
I feel like that would just elevate this even more and make it more fun.
Absolutely. I do love that Cody is wearing the face paint on the poster. It's like it's right out of the 1992 War Games. And I loved seeing that reference. I thought that was very cool. But yeah, Amanda, you're right. I'm going to try to come up with a fun team name before this podcast is over. But we'll see.
I was just saying in the chat. Yeah, come up with some cool. If you come up with a really good one, I'll send you.
Yeah, why am I doing it? Do it in the chat.
Yeah, I want some cool
team name for us or for them? Because we're Team Beautiful.
Baby. Team Beautiful featuring Rob. All right, guys, let's go to the War Games match. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, and Shotzi versus Bayley, Io Sky. Totally not reading this. Kairi Sane, welcome back, and Asuka in the Women's War Games match. I was just thinking a couple weeks ago about, you know, Charlotte and Becky. You know, we were talking about like great dance partners on the AEW Full Gear podcast and how MJF and Adam Cole were just great dance partners in any form or fashion. And I was thinking, man, like, I mean, there was like a lot of reports and stuff like that. Who knows what goes on? You know, I try not to guess, but, you know, there was a falling out or whatever happened. I'm like, man, they were great dance partners, and it's really cool to see them on the same page, even if it's temporary. I'm excited for this one. We also see the dynamic going on with Bayley and Damage Control. It will become Alt Control Delete. Who knows what's going on here? Right. Nunes, what do you got on this one?
So I don't know. Do you guys follow? I don't know if she does it on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But Becky, when she got called up for War Games, she made a post where she's typing on a computer and she looks over at her phone and Charlotte's calling her and she like ignores it. And then she goes on back on her computer and then she answers. She's like, ah, damn it. And then she does the transition thing. And then she's at the arena. I do like the dynamic. That's almost like a damn all-star team. You got Bianca, you got Charlotte Flair, you got Becky Lynch, and you got Shotzi. I'll tell you what, Shotzi's definitely going to show out in this one. She's going to do something crazy off the top of the cage. I'm really excited for her to get this opportunity. And like you said, Rob, welcome back Kairi Sane. Long overdue. She was so good in NXT. I loved her there with the insane elbow. I'm glad that she's getting, I believe this is her first match back, right? Yeah. In ring?
Yeah.
So that's a hell of a...
She was in the, didn't they do a six-woman tag?
That's right. Well, first match on pay-per-view, I believe.
There you go.
But, PLE, whatever you want to call it. But I think with the whole Damage Control and Bayley feeling kind of left out, I feel like the baby faces are going to win this one as well.
Yeah. Good stuff. Real quick, the Brandon Vice marks are in the chat. That Brandon Vice guy looking sweat emoji. Amanda, you might have to beat some people up here. Ooh. Drew Hernandez in the chat here. The fans are here. Brandon, I'll throw it to you, man. What do you think about this Women's War Games match?
I'm actually excited. You've seen some crazy stuff. I reenacted the trash can spot in one of my matches because
I forgot to bring that up.
So I am excited to see what's going to happen with this match. I'm waiting for more craziness. I'm very excited about the Kabuki Warriors coming. And then, I mean, hopefully they're going to let them be how they used to be. I want to see the intensity. I want to see the hits, the craziness. They've got watered down a lot with WWE, and I get it. I mean, it's different. It's not a Japanese style, but hopefully we get a little flash of that tonight. And I think Shotzi's going to be the one to take the pin. Out of everyone else, she has the less to lose. You got all these big names, but then you got Shotzi, and they're going to give her enough stuff where she's going to get her craziness in. She's going to get her moves. But ultimately, she's the lowest member right there to take the pin. But I'm ready to see the craziness.
Yeah, I bet after that trash can spot. How did that?
I was just about to say, yeah, that's all I wanted to see.
How did that feel? I mean, probably not great. And like, what goes through your head when you set up something like that?
You know, I was really excited. We were talking about it, and we're like, what spot do you want to move? And I was like, I just got one. I was like, only one spot. I don't care about the rest of the match, what you guys do. I was like, I want to do the trash can spot. And they're like, what? I was like, we'll make it work. And I don't like heights, so that was like even more terrifying. So well, at least here you don't see anything. And I'm climbing up this ladder, and I'm so high. And I watched the video back, and I'm like, man, I went three steps up. And I was like, and I jumped. I was like, but, you know, I put the trash can on, and I did like a little squawk, and I threw myself backwards. And I was like, when am I going to hit? When am I going to hit? Okay. I was like, there it is. And I was like, all right, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought. And I get up, and I'm like, okay. I was like, well, that sucks.
Yeah. Good for you, man, being able to do
that. That was just a couple of steps. I can't even imagine jumping off the top of the ring doing that. I mean,
give it to her.
I'd be crying on the way down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, only EO and Oscar the Grouch can pull that off.
Oh, I'm yes. here for it. I'm here for it. Amanda, what do you got on this one?
Drew, I know where to find you.
Oh, it's
he knows. He knows. So this one is actually the one that I had to think about probably the most in terms of who I would pick to win. Because again, you have two incredibly stacked teams. And, you know, you have the dream team with Charlotte, with Becky, with Bianca. And, you know, Shotzi's going to have probably like one of her, I'm hoping she has like a really fun entrance. I feel like something, whether it's the tank or some, I feel like something, it's War Games. So the tank is definitely going to got to be a thing, but I feel like she might even bump it up beyond that.
Yeah.
Because again, the caliber of the team she's with, you're going to have something fun. But then even with Damage Control, again, you have Kairi, and I feel like Asuka is going to get rejuvenated. She needed this. And so I feel like, you know, and then you have Io. I mean, you know, you have this really, again, both very stacked teams. So here I was going like, who am I going to go with? You know, I feel like right now the momentum is with Damage Control, you know, with Kairi, with Asuka, and, you know, kind of just all these movies. And even then, even though they have this, there's this obvious, this dynamic with Bayley going on right now, that is going to continue, I feel like, because that's going to be the main key storyline for the women's division right now, because you have so much talent locked up in this one faction that, and you know, when it eventually implodes, it's going to, the match, I'm excited already for the matches that are, hope if done right and given the right time, will just go viral. And just, you know, again, if we even get even like a taste of like the Kabuki Warriors, like even just like, give me something, come on, please. It's going to be great. So I feel like the momentum is on, especially with Kairi coming back in, I feel like the momentum is on Damage Control side, and you have more there. Whereas again, the star power too on the other team is outstanding against Charlotte and Becky, the dance partners of, you know, I mean, it's great stuff, but right now the heart of the story, and there's a lot more to do with Damage Control. So I feel like that they would take the win here because they need that momentum to keep going. And Damage Control needed that shot in the arm because they were starting to flatline a little bit too, you know? And so I think just getting that extra little bump and getting that momentum going with the story, it's going to get people back in. You give Asuka this much needed. I think Asuka is going to get to do her moment as well. And that what we've been missing. So a little bit more of that energy, a little bit more of that drive. I agree with with my flamingo counterpart here that Shotzi is going to take the pin. And it will, she will still look good taking the pin, you know, and I think, you know, the women are going to make her look good in this match. And I think for someone at her level, just being in the ring, sharing it with the caliber of women that are here, that's already a big sign and a big, you know, it shows that there's faith in her, and I think it will help her improve all the way around. So she's going to get that rub. She's going to eat the pin, but she's going to get that rub at the same time. So I'm excited for this. I'm excited for this match. I think we're going to get some really fun spots, and who knows, maybe we might get something crazier that happens here versus the men's. You never know with the caliber of talent here. So, but I'm going with Damage Control here for this one.
Kyrie elbow drop from the top.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
Wanted.
100%.
This one's going to be really good. My buddy, Charles Larita, who's kind of new to like being a wrestling fan from the music scene, guys, right now, if you get a chance or after the podcast, go to YouTube, Charles Larita and the Mischief, great alternative funk band. They have covers of like Mario 64, Zelda covers. They do a great Spice Girls Say You'll Be There cover. That's my personal favorite. Some great originals.
Looking it up right now.
Yeah, check it out. It's so good. That's my dude. He's like Cyclops. You'll never see his eyes, man. Living the gimmick just like the wrestling. That's my dude. That's my guy right there. Charles, welcome in. And he thinks Bayley's going out of Damage Control. Tim Hardy in the chat saying, any surprises? I don't see Punk coming. If you guys want to touch on that.
I was going to say, do you guys want to talk about that after this?
Yeah, we'll do a quick round on that after this real quick. I'm just going to say in terms of this match, Nunes, it was me calling Becky trying to get the interview. She didn't want to talk to me. I'm used to that. Nice. But hopefully one day, maybe when the book comes out. That being said, great to see her and Charlotte on the same page. I'm going to go with the baby faces here. You know, we saw kind of the foreshadowing. I'm loving the return of long-term storytelling in the WWE. It's been great. You know, Nunes and I, you know, we talked about it. Shameless promo, I always hang my hat on this one. But with the Johnny interview, we asked Johnny about it, and he even said him and Ciampa, you know, they weren't seeing a lot of long-term storytelling at that point in time. And we felt that that was one of the longest stories in a long time and before the bloodline and all that. We're seeing more of that. And now we're seeing the story of Damage Control, and I think they're going to lose here and they're going to fall apart. Now, this is not the first time I've said this, so I'm usually wrong on this, but I'm going to stick to it this time. I think it's a feel good win for the baby faces in this one. And then we see the return of Face Bayley after Damage Control dissolves in some form or fashion. And we get that song back because it's a banger. I like that song. I'm here for that song. Mike, tell me why I'm wrong.
Oh, you're so wrong. I'm sorry, man. If Damage Control loses, it will be because Bayley screwed something up. But Damage Control is going to win in spite of Bayley. They are going to have to save Bayley because ultimately this does lead to Damage Control breaking up. But Shotzi is to WWE as Sky Blue is to AEW. She's there to eat the pen. She's there to lose, essentially. She's gonna ball out. It's gonna be amazing because, like you said, she really doesn't have, as far as from a reputation standpoint goes, she has nothing to lose. So she's gonna go nuts. This is gonna be her opportunity to shine. She's gonna take every stupid, crazy risk, and we as fans are going to benefit from it. But I really think where I'm going with this is I've got Asuka convincing Kairi and Io after the match. Like I said, they're going to win. They're going to get the win, probably through Asuka. Bayley is going to be almost a non-factor. She is going to be that every time she tries to do something, she fails. She's getting put on her butt time and time again, and it just doesn't happen. And then the story is going to be, you don't need her. Like, what we got going right here, this is enough. This is good. We do not need Bayley. Also, we're starting to already have a little bit of sympathy. We're already kind of working Bayley a little bit more babyface. I think this is an opportunity to turn Bayley back to babyface, even though she's an amazing, she was the original Karen heel. Chelsea Green's taken it to a different level, but when she was in the pandemic era, what she was doing was amazing. But I think it's time to turn Bayley back to babyface, and I think you do that by making her try her hardest. It doesn't work, and then at the end, Damage Control wins, and they're all celebrating, and Bailey's kind of on the outs. You know what I mean? Like, they're all hugging each other, and here's Bailey, and they're like, okay, yeah, come on in, Bailey, sure. And she's so excited, but it's, you know, the tension that was there before with Kyrie that hasn't been forgotten. She said she forgave her. She didn't forgive her. And now with Asuka kind of being in their ear, and they, I mean, Io and Kyrie idolize Asuka, as they should. Like, she is the one that's going to be there. And with this new heel, Asuka, I love it. Well, not new heel, but doing the heel thing, turning on the baby faces. And that's the other thing too, like you said, what Amanda said, there's so much, the story is about Damage Control. And you can tell the story whether they win or lose, but really, do Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and Charlotte Flair need a win in this? No. I think the only person who benefits from the baby faces winning is Shotzi, and Shotzi's going to benefit just by being there and bawling out. So to me, you have a much more compelling story if they sort of win despite Bayley and kind of realize, oh, we don't need her. We really, what are we doing? We're carrying her now, and she's the dead weight. Like, we've used her for what she can do. She gave us opportunities. She put us on a spotlight, on a platform. But now we're better off without her.
Good stuff. And the chat's blowing up while you're talking, Mike. Brian Cervantes, I believe, from Mission Pro Wrestling, checking in on the chat saying, Shotzi with the shocking victory. Guys, and if you haven't, go check out Mission Pro and our coverage of Mission Pro over on BCP+. Kelvin covering that. Some great wrestling, I believe, down in Texas as well. Bernie in the chat saying, I wouldn't mind a missed spear by Charlotte hitting Bianca by mistake. Bailey gets the pin and Bianca, and then Damage Control gets a little run before they turn on Bailey. Very interesting stuff there. A lot of theories blowing up here. Very good. Is that the world famous Amanda Nugent to take her on Marvel? Oh, her take on the Marvels later. I didn't see it yet. How was that?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
It's we will get to it after this weekend, but
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
My sister said it was really, really good.
It's all over the place though.
Kelvin in the chat saying, dang it, Mike Mueller, I'm agreeing. So there you go. I feel that. I say less, as the kids say, man. I know that feeling with Mike, especially, man, because he's typically right. Real quick, rapid fire round, guys. CM Punk returning. I'm just going to keep it short and sweet. I'm going to say no. Things are great business-wise. I mean, fool me once, fool me twice. You know what I'm saying, man? No disrespect. I've shared my thoughts on Punk even before he returned to AEW. I'll leave it on that. No disrespect. I just don't – unless you're trying to pop a rating here or some. I just – things are good. It get quite the reaction, but like we always say, then what? Noons, what do you got?
I don't think so. I mean – and if you're going to bring Punk in, it's not just a one-time deal. It's in Chicago. So, I mean, the pop would be crazy, but there's no need for it.
Mueller?
I don't think so. The only thing that is concerning is not only no Roman Reigns, no bloodline at all to speak of, no LA Knight. How is LA Knight not on this card? You do have another SmackDown. I don't see why you wouldn't put LA Knight versus Solo on this card and you have the room. So I really hope that's the case. If that's the case, I say definitely no CM Punk. But without your biggest heel and without the hottest thing going today, I am a little concerned that they're afraid of a lack of star power. And that might be why they would bring CM Punk in for this moment. If we can lock that up on Friday and get that on the card for sure, then,
that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, then no reason. But that's the only thing that's got me concerned is no bloodline, no LA Knight. What are we doing?
Yeah, those really good points, man. I think they're holding off for the Rumble, man. I always hate that when you almost feel like something, and this is going to be a great pay-per-view, but something almost feels like an appetizer to like the next thing, you know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah.
It's always food with me. Amanda, what do you think about this one?
Oh, Mike brought up a really good point. I'm hoping I hope we get LA Knight. I'm hoping that we don't get CM Punk. And no disrespect to CM Punk, but he's not needed, especially with the negative buzz that's coming from him with the AEW. There's no need to bring that in.
Exactly.
To me, I respect him as a performer. He did a great job, but I feel like his time has passed politely. And, you know, it would just be a very cheap pop if they brought him in for, you know, a little bit. And you can't bring CM Punk in for like a little bit. Like, you have to do something with him, and where he doesn't fit in the picture right now. You have so many other more capable wrestlers at this point that it would be a disservice to the storylines. It would be a disservice to LA Knight. It'd be a disservice to Cody Rhodes. It'd be a disservice to Randy Orton, to everybody that you have right now, to bring in CM Punk. So I'm just going to say no. And please, God, no.
Yeah. And Brandon, you're obviously in the locker rooms, man. We all know that guy, bro. You know, I'll leave it at that, man. You know, you got to be professional and all that stuff. You know, I understand that, man. But from your point of view, would you see CM Punk being able to maybe reconcile here or make it work in some form or fashion?
No. I like that they're teasing it. They've been doing little snippets of his music. They've been doing stuff like that. But I think that's as far as it goes, because they know it's Chicago. They know that they can get a reaction from it. And it's just those little reactions that, well, what if? What if? Oh, they're teasing this. What if? And I think that's the drawing. He's not going to be out there. It's they're pulling him in just with that what if alone. And at the end of the show, oh, okay, well, he didn't come out, but you had this amazing show. You really didn't need him to come out. Well, I see that.
I thought of in the moment one thing that you could do with him if you want to do something short.
Please.
If you have Randy immediately turn heel, which again, I don't think is happening, but if you have Randy turn heel and it looks like we're going to end on a sour note for the pay-per-view, bam, there's Punk, and you can have Punk versus Randy. You've done it before. You got storyline there before, and it gives Randy something to do if we don't want to put him in a storyline. I don't think it's going to happen, but if that if Randy hits an RKO, like especially on someone like Cody and Jay, like you said, he can do it to Jay and we just laugh it off, shrug it off. But if he does it to Cody, oh, you got to answer. And that's the only scenario I can come up with off the top of my head that makes sense for CM Punk to come back. But otherwise, no, I don't see where you interject him in the WWE universe right now. I hate that term, but yeah. So that's my one. I just want to throw that out there just in case it happens and I look really smart, but I'm not, it's not an official prediction. It's not, I'm not locking it in.
Good stuff all around, guys. Real quick before we get out of here in the chat. Jeffrey T. Fountain, our SmackDown contributor on BCP Plus, says CM Punk shouldn't be allowed on any wrestling promotion ever again. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Gina Rossman in the chat saying CM Punk might return at the Royal Rumble 2024. We shall certainly see. Yeah, Nuna shaking his head. Nah, brother. We will certainly see what happens. We'll be covering here, of course, here on the BCP and BCP Plus. But before we get out of here, we are all about that shameless promo here on the BCP. Mike, what do you got for us? Sweet Chin Musings?
Sweet Chin Musings, yes, sir. We just dropped a new episode minutes before I came on the air and pulling double duty tonight. Thank you. We did a great full year recap and Survivor Series predictions. Love to do that. We're not super consistent with it, but we do what we can. Besides doing that, I love doing writing for the Pop Break. Haven't done it in a minute, but definitely want to get back into that. But right now, my writing time is pretty occupied. It's football season. Raiders are having a very interesting season. And I've been doing all of the recaps for all of their weeks right on the BCP Plus. I'm so happy and proud to be a part of it. It's the highlight of my week to get to publish that and share it and do all that stuff. So that's what's been occupying my time, and I couldn't be happier. And I do just, I want to give a shameless plug and thank you to you, Rob, because it's writing is a passion of mine. And I felt like I had sort of lost that passion for a little bit. And this gave me a much needed spark in that field. So I'm so grateful for the opportunity and happy to be a part of the team. So thanks.
Hey man, you're a great writer and a lot less editing for me when you write, bro. I appreciate that, man.
That's trying to make your life easier, baby. Hey, man, that's all I'm doing.
We're just working on them press passes for you out in Las Vegas. We'll see what we could do. Give me a year. All right. All right. Amanda, what do you got going on down there? And Brandon as well.
Yeah, well, I am the co-host of the Socially Distanced podcast, which you can catch every Friday, except this week. We are taking a vacation for Thanksgiving, but we will be back, and I believe we're covering Doctor Who, the new episodes. So very exciting. And then we're going to dive into our holiday movie roundup and I'll be hosting the Elf episode, so I'm excited about that. And I'm also the co-host for Anime Pop, which is on all things anime with both. Of course, I've got Bill Bodkin, my fantastic co-host, who's also been here, BCP OG here for the Socially Distanced, and Josh Sarnecki for Anime Pop. And our new episode should be dropping, I think, Monday. And it is going to be on the series finale of Attack on Titan. So we talk all about that. I have emotionally recovered for now and that kind of thing. And of course, social media, y'all can follow me at Amandalorian on Instagram and on Threads. If anybody's still using that, it's there. And then at ResnerSchick on X. And of course, I will turn it over to my significant other, which we do have a couples cosplay account, at Brandalorian.
Yes. Follow that. So you can find me doing Flamingo Fact Friday. Hasn't been very consistent, has some stuff coming up, but it will be going back to every Friday once the year starts again, and it's going to be flamazing. Other than that, you can find me on social media, Brandon Vice Wrestling, on X at Havoc1775. And of course, you can always check out Hybrid School Wrestling. We're doing our last show, 9 days till Christmas, coming up, and that's going to be amazing.
He also has great merch.
Yes, I popped for several things. Yeah, get the merch. Promoters here, Jersey, New York. Let's get Brandon out here. You know, he's willing to travel. I want to see him at some pro wrestling magic. I want to see him at some ISPW. Let's see what we can do here for sure. Guys, you always know you can see Nooner, my brother from another mother, here on the BCB. Nooner, is anything you want to plug or shout out or happy holidays or anything, brother?
Rob and I will be at Funkenstein selling whatever is there. The weekend of December 3rd and 4th, right? Or 2nd and 3rd?
Yeah.
So we will be there working retail, and happy Thanksgiving, and eat all the turkey that you can this weekend.
Yes.
Love it, guys. And I'm thankful for you all. Totally. But like Nuna says, right? You don't just be thankful on Thanksgiving. Be thankful.
You're thankful all year round.
That's it. I love it, guys. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.